Welcome to Sword Radio. This is your host, Buffy St. John.
Well, hello, and welcome to our program. Today I have with me a lady who has just come out of the shadow of death. I mean, she has a testimony that would blow you away. Just to give you a little bit of background, after she was born, her mother was diagnosed with breast cancer and went to a sanitarium when she was a young girl. And the last time she saw her mother was about when she was about 4 years old. Her mother died when she was around eight and a half years old, and she never got to see her mother again. Raised by her oldest siblings, who were very cruel to her, she suffered a lot of torture and undue punishment, and as a result became afraid of the dark and was looking for a way of escape. So she started drugs at the age of 13. When I asked her about the sexual abuse, she said that she was sexually abused beginning at age 6. So here you've already got a foundation and background for the enemy to really just come in and take over a life. One of the interesting things about her testimony, and I wanted to bring this out because there are a lot of you listeners out there whose children are messing around with drugs. They're messing around with the occult. They are searching for spirituality. They think that they can find their spirituality through witchcraft, through paganism, through making pacts with the devil. And Deborah has come out of all this kind of stuff. So I just wanted to share this part with you and other parts of her testimony. Her full testimony will be available on our website at www.saythattv.com. So, Deborah, welcome to our studio.
Hi, Buffy. How are you today?
Oh, we're doing great. So I want you to tell me a little bit about when you looked in the mirror. Take me to that place where you were desperate, you needed some drugs, you were standing in the bathroom, and you were getting ready to make a pact with the devil.
Well, I was standing there, and I just said, devil, since you say who you are, I'd make a deal with you. If you brought me more drugs, I'd serve you. Well, as I looked in the mirror, I see nothing but darkness. I couldn't even see my reflection. I saw a shadow of a man standing there with his arms crossed. And in a growling voice, he said, you're mine. And I said, okay, where are the drugs? And that's when the spiral of falling into this dark place started. As I began to use more and more drugs, no matter, I wasn't selective. And I want you to understand that there was no favorite drug. It was just drugs. Anything to keep me from feeling the pain, feeling the sorrow, feeling lonely, just feeling, period, was gone. And it led me to a mental institution. It really got me to a place where I didn't want to live anymore.
Now, you said you saw that man in the mirror. Did you make a pact with him? What transpired there?
Well, I said that if he brought me more drugs, that I would serve him. And he replied and said, you're mine. And from then on, whenever I would look in the mirror, I wouldn't see a reflection. I would see nothing but total darkness. And it didn't bother me.
Were you aware of Jesus at that time? Did anybody tell you about the Lord? Did you have any family members that were Christians, that were saved, that had shared Jesus with you? Or were you searching at any time?
The only Jesus I had in my life that I showed that people would talk about Jesus, take me to church, then take me home and abuse me. So I really had no real set example growing up in my childhood. Even in my young adulthood, growing up, I had no example of Jesus. I knew God existed, but not in my life.
When you went ahead and you turned to drugs and you made the pact with the devil that if he would give you drugs, you'd be his. Mm-hmm. When you started the whole drug thing and not being selective of any type of drug that you actually used, now you started spiraling down into this whole drunken and drug state. How did you end up in a mental institution?
Well, my then boyfriend, we were staying with friends, and he had beat me. And the lady called the police. He was arrested, and I was told to leave her residence. And I told her, I don't have anywhere to go. She didn't care. And at that point, I just gave up. I just gave up and began to walk with the few things that I had. I began to walk down Broadway. And as I'm walking, I'm pleading with God now to put me out of my misery. And he brought back that pact that I had made to my remembrance. Where you remember what you said? You was going to serve the devil. Why call on me now? And right then and there, my whole understanding changed, because I realized I made a mistake. And I knew the only thing that I knew to do to correct this mistake was to die, was to just die. And I didn't care. It was 2:00 in the morning. And in that area, that particular area that I was in, was very dangerous. And I was praying that someone would just jump out the darkness and kill me, put me out my misery. I remember that there was a hospital at the end of Broadway. It was about a good mile and a half that I walked. And when I got to the hospital, I was so distraught. I told the lady I didn't want to live anymore. And I began to scream and holler and blacked out after that, and didn't come back to my real senses. It was over several days, not knowing, not understanding. Only thing I remember, truly remember, was this nurse would come and pray with me. And she would pray the Lord's Prayer over me. And I remember weeping. And after I came to my senses, after all the medication, after all of not responding to anything or anyone, the doctors finally got a chance, when I came around, told me what I had been doing. They said I was speaking in unknown language. I spoke Polish. I have no idea how to speak Polish right to this day. The nurse that came to me was Miss Washington. I remembered her praying. I said, "You that lady that prayed over me all the time." And she said, "Yes, honey." She said, "But when I would begin to pray in the spirit, you would growl and spit at me." And she said the Lord had told her not to come back in the room anymore, just stand in the doorway. She said, "But I noticed that when I would say the Lord's Prayer, you would lay still and just weep." That's how God began to work in my life, through this woman just being obedient and seeing the need. Not knowing my history, not knowing the pact that I had made with the devil, just to pray for me.
Well, here you have it. From a pact with the devil, all the way through to God working in the life. So what is the Lord doing for you now? When did you get saved? And what is God doing in your life? What is that transformation?
I got saved in 2000, right there in the hospital. I gave my life back to God. And me thinking that everything was going to be all right, I just went on about my life, and I asked God if he truly was Lord of my life, he'd have my daughter come and get me out this hospital so that I could begin my walk with him. And everything came to pass. I went back to my hometown, and I was living it. Everything was going right. God was really working, because I had no place to live. He provided me with a home. He provided me with my children around me, my grandbaby I had never seen. She began to love on me and love me. My daughter and I had, it seemed that we had mended fences and became closer. I grew in my community. I began to talk on it. TV, I was on TV several times with the city council, speaking out against drugs and alcohol, working with the SIRS program, which is it's for the mentally ill, and it's a social group where they have, it's called PSR, post social rehabilitation. And so in that group, I began to grow more and more with the Lord. And I thought I was fixed. You know, I thought I was fixed. Everything was fine. Everything was going great. And I decided to move. Not God decided to move me, but I decided to move me. And that's how I landed here in Springfield. And then again, I'm thinking I'm fixed. I don't need to read the word. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to go to church. And I could just do this thing on my own. Well, I was wrong, because things began to fall apart again. I relapsed. I began to get in with the wrong crowd, trying to fit in once again, trying to fit in. But this time around, something was different. I didn't understand what it was, but I knew I didn't feel right. I knew this wasn't right. And I was laying in my bed, and I was asking God, Lord, give me a church to go to. Give me something to do in the church. Find me a church home, somewhere where I can plant roots and grow. It wasn't until 3 or 4 years passed, because I tried every church almost in Springfield, and I ran into an old friend of mine that was an evangelist, and I saw a difference in her. Something was just glowing about her that drawed me to her, and I began to follow along with her, and she brought me to Acts of Praise. When I entered into Acts of Praise, I was so determined, because I knew that I had gave my life to God. I knew that God had saved me and rescued me from the pits of hell. I knew this, but I didn't know how to serve Him. And I thank God that He worked it all out. He gave me a chance to rededicate my life, to give of myself, and to listen to His voice and His understanding, and not to my own understanding.
Well, there you have it. And Deborah is now a Sunday school teacher at Acts of Praise Whole Life Ministries under the direction of Pastor Francis Stafford here in Springfield, Missouri. So with that, we're going to close our broadcast. I do not like to close a broadcast without giving you out there an opportunity to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Him, just pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. I know You are the Son of God. You died on a cross and rose again to give me eternal life. Amen. If you have prayed that simple prayer with us, please contact us at www.saythattv.com. or www.declaretheword.com. We would be more than happy to send you out a free New Believers package. God bless you.